This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Today is National Coming Out Day. On this archive edition, we feature interviews about what it was like to be gay before Stonewall and the gay rights movement. Back in 1955, Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin co-founded the first national lesbian group in America, the Daughters of Bilitis. Lyon and Martin are now considered mothers of the gay rights movement. The Daughters of Bilitis was created as an alternative to the gay bar scene, but developed into an activist group. Martin is 75 now, Lyon is 72. They've been a couple for 43 years. They both served as delegates to the 1995 White House Conference on Aging. The Daughters of Bilitis disbanded in the 70s, but Martin and Lyon have remained outspoken advocates of gay rights. In 1992, I asked them if they knew there was such a thing as a lesbian when they started having feelings toward women.
No.
No.
Sexuality was not talked about in those days, and let alone homosexuality.
Yeah, we're talking way back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, I didn't really find out about lesbians until I met Del, actually.
And what year was that?
That was in
1949,
right. And I knew vaguely that there were such things as male homosexuals, but that was about it. But when I look back, I know that I was always fascinated with women. I just didn't have a clue as to what to do about that.
Del, what about you? What was the first time that you had a sense that you felt things toward other women?
Oh, when I was about 10 or 12, and I figured that I was different and I was the only one.
The only one in the world?
The only one in the world. That's a story we hear over and over again in our age group. Everybody thought, oh, I'm the only one.
Well, you got married when you were 19. Did you?
Right.
Did you do that in spite of thinking that you were different?
Well, at that particular time, there was no woman that I was particularly attracted to, so I thought maybe that was over with.
Where did you each find out more about other lesbians, about the fact that you weren't alone? Did you turn to books? Did you turn to other people?
Well, there really weren't any books, except, you know, unless you went to the first you had to know the word homosexual or lesbian in order to look anything up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was nothing that was any good in the libraries in those early days.
And mostly it just told you how sick you were.
So it frightened you when you found the books, actually.
Right. There's no way that we could identify with that. I think the first book that I read that helped me out was Radcliffe Hall's book.
The Well of Loneliness, yeah.
You both read that?
No, I didn't. Somehow or other I missed that. So that I was still, I was through college and working before I found out about lesbians. And that was only because it was about 1949 that Del and I and another woman we worked with were having drinks at the press club in Seattle after work, and somehow or other the subject came up, and Del said she was a lesbian, and I was fascinated, because I'd never met one before, I thought. And the first thing I did when I got home was call everybody I knew and tell them.
Tell them about Del?
Yeah. I didn't know that was a bad thing. Fortunately, it had no repercussions to speak of.
Yeah, talk about outing.
Talk about naivete.
So, Phyllis, did you get the feeling right away that, well, you know, maybe you were too? Did that strike you?
Not right at the moment. We had already become pretty close friends, Del and I. And then, of course, I was curious. But one of the things I had discerned about myself was that in my relationships with men, what I was doing was, in essence, sort of chasing after the ones I was interested in. And then when I caught them, as it were, then I became disinterested. And I was kind of afraid that the same thing would happen if I chased after Del. So I didn't do anything for quite a while, as a matter of fact.
Then she was going to leave town and...
For good.
And so it was then or never.
Who made the first move?
I did, but as Phyllis says, I made a pass and she completed it.
She sort of made a half pass.
How did you both meet?
On the job. We were working for trade publications in Seattle.
And you knew each other from working together?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I was working in Seattle before, and then the boss told us all that he had this gay divorcee coming from San Francisco.
He didn't know how gay.
And so, I was fascinated because I had lived in San Francisco. I went to UC Berkeley, and I had lived partially in San Francisco, and it was great to know somebody from down there was coming up.
Del, you had already been married. What happened to end the marriage?
I fell in love with a woman next door, and that, you know, my feelings were really awakened by then, and I just felt I needed to do something about it.
When you started being a couple, a lot of lesbian relationships were in the kind of butch femme mode. Was your relationship that way too early on?
Well, it was sort of, yeah. I think that it didn't really stay that way very long, although to all intents and purposes, we were still a butch femme couple in public. Since Della decided, when I met her, I decided she was a butch, I didn't have much of an option. So I became a femme. I've often thought I would have made a really good butch. And besides which, I did all of the butch kind of things, if you will. I mean, I drive, and Del doesn't, and I can drive a nail in, and she can't, and, you know, stuff like that. But we conformed to what the going thing was outside the home, but not certainly didn't do it when we were at home.
Yeah, I was a sissy butch.
Yeah.
So there was pressure on you. You felt that, like, I mean, from what you knew about lesbian couples, this is the way it had to be. This is the way it was supposed to be. Butch and
femme. That's right. Yeah. I mean, that's how everybody was doing. Because at that point in time, the only model anybody had was mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was kind of following that.
Yeah, and when we first got together, I had a job that I had lined up before I came down back to San Francisco from Seattle, and Phyllis would get up and make me breakfast, which I didn't like to eat in those days. That didn't last very long.
That's what my mother had always done, right? She had always gotten up and gotten Dad's breakfast. So I thought, well, this is what you have to do. But as Del said, it didn't last very long.
When did you give it up?
I didn't like doing it either.
When did you give it up?
Oh, probably within a month.
Oh, that quickly?
So. Oh, I think so.
Oh, yeah, at least. Yeah,
that might have been sooner.
Well, how did you bring it up with each other that you're going to change and that you weren't going to conform to that standard anymore?
I don't think we really talked about it. We just sort of acted like ourselves.
Phyllis, how do you think the relationship was changed when you decided to give up those roles?
Well, I think what happened was that we just became the people that we had when we became friends. We didn't really deal with those kinds of roles because I was supposedly Del's straight friend anyway. So we were on a different kind of footing. Then when we became lovers, there was this sudden switch from, you know, masculine, feminine. She was supposed to be the aggressor and all these kinds of things. And I think then we just wandered back to being the people that we actually were, which was neither the aggressor nor the non-aggressor.
My guests are the co-founders of the group, the Daughters of Bilitis, the first national lesbian organization in America. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon are my guests. You met in 1949. In 1955, you co-founded Daughters of Bilitis. Why did you feel you wanted to start some kind of organization? And what did you have in mind when you started it? What did you want it to be? What did you need it to be?
Well, it wasn't our idea, but we had met a lesbian through a couple of gay men that lived around the corner from us. And she called us one morning, Saturday morning, and said, how would you like to join with us in a social club for lesbians? And we were just delighted because we didn't know any, and we were so starved for socializing with other lesbians that we jumped at the chance. What Daughters of Bleeda started out to be was a very secret lesbian social club.
Where did the name come from, Daughters of Bleeda?
From the Songs of Bleeda by Pierre Louis, which is a long lesbian narrative poem.
It's a poem you knew?
Lesbian who invited us to join the club had read the book, and she offered that as a suggestion for the name of it.
She thought that lesbians would know what Bleeda meant, but nobody else would. I don't think that was true, because I don't think most lesbians knew about the Songs of Bleeda. However, it worked out as a name.
It was supposed to be a secret, and we have spent many, many years now trying to explain the name.
So I guess it worked pretty well. You know, some people, when they hear the name, think it sounds like a disease, Bleeda's.
Well, that's why we pronounced it Bleeda's.
Instead of Bleeda's, like phlebitis?
Instead of Bleeda's, because we didn't want it to sound like a disease. And that was at the time, you know, when Eisenhower had ileitis. And so we said, no, it's got to be Bleeda's, so it doesn't sound like an illness.
So you were trying to keep the organization, you know, very, very secret to protect the members. Were there ways that lesbians could let other lesbians know who they were, like little cues lesbians could give each other through the way they dressed or wore their hair or whatever?
Well, I think that's probably why so many lesbians dress pretty butchy, to let others know that here's a possibility.
Did you go to the bars at all before or after you co-founded Daughters of Bleeda?
Oh, yeah.
What was the bar scene like then?
Well, what was it like? It was, for many lesbians, it was the only outlet. It was the only place they had to go where they could be themselves. It was the only place they knew to go to meet other lesbians, for sure, you know, without being, you know, perhaps making a costly mistake. And it's true there was a lot of drinking, and which is what goes on in bars. but it was the only place. It was the only...
And it was a risky place.
Yeah.
Because periodically there would be police raids. And one of the things that we worked through on that one was during the Daughters of Bleeda, when we started to have public
discussion meetings.
And we got attorneys to come and talk to us and tell us our rights. And what we found when a bar raid took place, that most everybody pleaded guilty and to a plea of disturbing the peace or visiting a house of ill repute or whatever to get out of it and pay a fine. But in actuality, what they were pleading guilty to was being gay, because they hadn't done anything that was illegal in these places. They were just there. So when we found an attorney who said, just plead nulla contendere, so you were there. And then when the police officer was asked, you know, what we did or in the bars, all I could say just rounded us all up. And there was nothing that the court could do but let us go. When I say us, I'm talking about lesbians in general. Phyllis and I never got caught up in a raid. We missed one by a day and another by a week, but we didn't get caught up. But we did find legal help for those who did.
Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon co-founded the Daughters of Bleeda. Our interview was recorded in 1992.